Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ray Wyatt is likely back in WWE soon. What lies ahead for Cody Rhodes under Triple H? Drew McIntyre pulled from live events due to an injury. Yes, hello, welcome to the Solo Sunday News here at What Culture Wrestling with myself, Andrew Pollard. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow, share, turn notification bells on, all that good jazz. Most importantly, though, make sure you have a very, very good Sunday. It's a very warm Sunday here. It's like, what, 22 degrees, and it's early in the morning. It's way too early for 22 degrees, and it's going to go to 33 degrees later today here in North Wales. But yes, enough about my ramblings and that stuff. Have a great Sunday. I hope it goes super cool for you, but we're here to talk about wrestling. Bray Wyatt in particular is what we're going to start things off with. Now, recently, of course, Triple H now heading up WWE's creative team, and he has moved straight away to bring back several, well, formerly released stars, I guess you would call them. So we saw Hit Row return, well, three of Hit Row return on Friday's SmackDown. We've seen Karrion Kross and Scarlett Bordeaux arrive back last Friday. We've had Dakota Kai come back to the company. It's all very cool. It's very exciting to see. It's very much like, right, so who's back on Monday? Who's back on Friday? Who's turning up at Clash at the Castle in a couple of weeks? And one name that is said to be likely to return soon, soon is the key word here as well, is Bray Wyatt, the Eater of Worlds, a three-time world champion, the Fiend, whatever you want to call him. This is a report from Wade Keller over the Pro Wrestling Torch, who said his exact words here are Bray Wyatt is likely back in WWE soon. So soon, does that mean Monday on Raw tomorrow? Does that mean Friday on SmackDown? Does that mean Clash of the Castle in just a matter of weeks? 3 weeks to be. In fact, 3 weeks today, I will be presenting the Solo Sunday News from a hotel in Cardiff because I'll have been to Clash of the Castle the night before. Hopefully it's a very good show. Hopefully maybe we get Bray Wyatt there. But this all comes on the back of a previous report from Fightful Select that said that there had been internal talks backstage of having Bray Wyatt returning. Obviously, this report now from Wade Keller goes a little bit further than that and says it's likely it's soon. So it seems like it's only a matter of time. Now, an interesting caveat of all of this, which I thought was kind of cool, was supposedly a lot of the wrestlers backstage were ready to go to bat for Bray Wyatt, as in, like, bring him back. The guy's really good. He's a nice guy to have around. He can do things on TV that bring him ratings, maybe, and merchandise sales, and just not those $4,000 garish, horrible, horrendous Fiend replica titles. They were trash. But other than that, there's a lot of upside to Bray Wyatt, clearly. And it wasn't Bray Wyatt's decision to do that title, I'm sure. But yeah, that was the lay of the land under Vince McMahon, where wrestlers were going to go to bat for Bray Wyatt. But under Triple H, that doesn't need to happen. Now, under Hunter, it's said to be very much a clean slate for anybody, whether it's somebody who's still with WWE, whether it's somebody that's been released by the company. Whatever happened before. It's done. It's finished. Let's move forward. We've all got a clean start. Excuse me. That ties into to Hit Row. When Hit Row returned on Friday on SmackDown, and Top Dollar did an interview with Busted Open Radio the following morning, and he said that was the exact term basically he said was used by Triple H in their conversations was, I don't know what happened before, obviously referring to when Hit Row got called up to SmackDown and lasted just a matter of weeks. B-Fab got fired, and then a couple of weeks later, Ashanti Adonis, Swerve Scott, and Top Dollar all got fired as well, and Triple H just kind of said, I don't know what happened there, but it's a clean slate. So very positive there for anybody looking to return to WWE or anybody that's there and just been unhappy. Cody Rhodes, though, under Vince McMahon, Cody was positioned immediately as a big deal upon returning to the company at WrestleMania 38. Picked up three consecutive premium live event, definitely not pay-per-view wins, premium live event wins over Seth Rollins. Of course, Seth Rollins, a multiple-time world champion, one of the biggest stars in the company. Cody handily beating him three times in three really great matches. So Vince saw Cody as a big deal. It seemed apparent that the American Nightmare was on a collision course for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship at some point, whether that's when Roman Reigns is going or not. And obviously, Cody's now out of action with a torn pectoral muscle, which was a gnarly injury that we all got to see in all its ooey-gooey glory at Hell in a Cell earlier in the year. But with Vince out of the way, some have questions over, well, what does the future look like for Cody Rhodes in a Triple H-led creative team of WWE? Now, of course, Cody Rhodes has talked about how he was unhappy with how Triple H handled things back in 2016 prior to Cody leaving the company. We saw several shots from Cody at Triple H during this time in AEW, including the inaugural Double or Nothing pay-per-view, where there was that not-so-subtle smashing of a throne with a sledgehammer by Cody. But, you know, Andrew Zarian over on the... It was on the latest episode of the Mat Men podcast. It was where he's talked about, again, the terms here, a lot of plans for Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania 39. So WWE clearly see him as a valuable player, as a big-time player, as somebody who, hey, it seems a no-brainer that he is going to get. Whether that world title remains as just one, or it's split back up into two, for one for Raw and one for SmackDown, it seems that Cody is destined to get that at some point. But yeah, it's said that here the hope is still, as many have kind of speculated on, that the hope is that Cody Rhodes will be fit and ready to return for action at the Royal Rumble. Of course, that then leads into, naturally, the road to WrestleMania. So, I mean, again, for me, just me spitballing, and I'm sure a lot of you have got the exact same idea. You get the big Cody return at the Rumble, he wins the Rumble, cements himself a spot at whatever world title at WrestleMania. And also, it's like, I mean, if you do manage, if WWE can somehow manage to pull off Roman Reigns versus Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the great one, the people's champion, I think that's a match that does not need whatsoever a world title on it. That's a big enough match as it is. And I also think that if you don't have a world title in the mix for that, then it also takes away some of the predictability, because if the world title as it is now was on the line in that, The Rock's not winning that, so we all know. In fact, we all know going in, probably, to be fair, that The Rock isn't winning, regardless whether there's any titles involved in that or not. But then a lot of us also said that about that first John Cena match, and look what happened there. So yeah, it looks like things are still on track for Cody to be a big time player, and I'm all for that. I think he absolutely knocked it out of the park. I've not been always the biggest of Cody Rhodes fans, but I think he knocked out of the park with everything he did work for. I guess it was a brief run, really, that initial return to WWE, and hopefully he's back in action sooner rather than later. But even if he is, I would just hold off until the Rumble. That's it. Even if he was, all of a sudden you get a phone call, Triple H gets a text in like a month's time, at the end of September maybe, to go, yo, boss, I'm ready to come back. It's like, no, mate, you hold on. We're keeping you for the Rumble. But one person who Cody might end up fighting at some point in time for a world title is Drew McIntyre. Now, that was an awful accent. But Drew McIntyre, now the story of Drew coming out over the weekend is that he's been pulled from some WWE live events. Now, this is due to a back injury. It was, I believe it was Fightful Select who reported this first and foremost. That, yeah, Drew was pulled as a precautionary measure. Now, obviously, he competed on SmackDown. There was a tag match where it ended up being him and Madcap Moss against the Usos. So it's not too bad, but it's something that WWE are clearly keeping an eye on. Now, Drew McIntyre, of course, is part of your main event for the Clash at the Castle pay-per-view. Premium live event. I'm still getting used to this, man. It's always going to be pay-per-views to me. But yes, Drew McIntyre is part of the main event for Clash at the Castle on, September the 3rd, in just 3 weeks' time. So clearly WWE are going to be very careful with Drew. They pulled him as a precaution because it seems at the moment this back issue he has is one that does not require surgery. And the hope is that just resting it as much as possible, not going over the top, not going out night after night on the live touring schedule and wrestling the house shows. It's just a case of, right, you take it kind of easy-ish. Like I said, obviously there was the tag match on Friday. I believe Drew and Roman are set to have like a face-to-face on this coming week's SmackDown. So yeah, I wouldn't be expecting to see Drew McIntyre wrestle all that much between now and Clash at the Castle. And you know, who knows, maybe this is something that affects any plans for Clash, because some have predicted that Drew was going to finally slay the dragon in Cardiff. It was going to be Drew standing tall as a new WWE. Nope, got that wrong. Undisputed WWE Universal Champion. And if that was the case, maybe now it's like, oh, I don't know, this back thing might need a surgery down the line, who knows. To me, I'm still rooting for Roman Reigns. I know it's going to get me some heat, brother, out there, but I'm still pulling for Roman.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This one, but yeah, a couple of questions to wrap things up. Strandhausen, hey Colin, made a coffee. The coffee is always with me, brother. Today in a Macho Man Randy Savage mug, swigging coffee for the working man. Made a coffee brew of you. Considering how Triple H's creative is treating Bayley, Io, and Kai as one of the biggest things in wrestling, do you think WWE could become the company for women's wrestling? AEW has not been booking their women very well. Hashtag solo something news. I think it's fair to say, yeah, AEW's been a mixed bag in terms of how it presents its female talent. The talent clearly is there. They have some of the best female wrestlers on the planet. They have some other female wrestlers who are extremely green. And then they have some female talent who are really poorly booked, but some who are really strongly booked. So it, again, that goes back to it's a mixed bag. In terms of the place to be in terms of women's wrestling, Stardom jumps out, Tokyo Joshi Pro, Shimmer. But if we're talking on that more mainstream audience, the masses have access to, yikes, they should have had that last swig of coffee, then I guess that it comes down to WWE and it comes down to AEW. Triple H could, if he wants to make Raw or SmackDown or NXT 2.0 one of the go-to destinations for people to watch great women's wrestling with great stories and great talent doing great things, then he can do it easily. You look at the track record Triple H has had. One of my favorite stories and journeys in modern pro wrestling history is the eventual ascension of Bayley in NXT. Bayley on the main roster, great. Bayley is the ding dong heel, absolutely great. But that the ascension of Bayley to that underdog who was always getting beat in the big matches, always when it mattered would come up short, and then you have her go on that little run where it's like, all right, I'm gonna go through Becky, I'm gonna go through Charlotte, which is a big one, and then obviously ends up with her and Sasha, one of the great rivalries of the modern era as well. So Triple H has shown in NXT he can treat women's wrestling really well, and it's not just that. How he handled Asuka as just the ass kicker, no pun intended. Shayna Baszler, again, just a monster. I think she today still has the longest cumulative reign of anybody with an NXT title of any sort, with her two reigns as champ there. You look at Io Shirai, you look at how they did the breakup of Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai. That's a massively underrated thing for me, I think. That's awesome. But you can go back to like Paige and Emma, you go back to Natalya and Charlotte. The whole four horsewomen thing, even how Becky was starting to be treated towards the end of her time there, because she had that match with Sasha where they were both heels and Becky ended up kind of, that was a match that put her on the map. Obviously nowhere near as much as she got put on the map years later on the main roster and, the man. But you look at how they booked Raquel down there. You look at Rhea Ripley, the fact that Triple H, they did the first ever women's War Games match. So yeah, the Mae Young Classic. There's so many examples of how well treated the female talent were during NXT. So I think Triple H can very much do that if he wants to. Anyway, quickly wrapping these up, Mark Solid, he says, more than Andrew, thoughts on when we do Rock versus Roman? Who teams up with The Rock in six-man tags versus The Bloodline? Thumper is also looking for a birthday shout out. My dude turned 8 years old. As ever, send me your pet pictures on a Sunday. It genuinely does brighten my day. So thank you for sending that one in, Mark. A massive, massive, massive happy birthday to Thumper. Look like a good doggo there in the sun with his little party hat on. I don't think you need to. I wouldn't be surprised if well, it's obviously it's a big if first and foremost that we get Rock and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Because that there's so many variables in that could change, mainly from the Rock end, of course. But I think that if we do get that match, I don't think you necessarily need to do a tag match to lead into it. You can do, but it's just the big questions now about that match are whether the Rock's schedule can permit it. So then, okay, if he can somehow be free WrestleMania weekend, great. Is he going to be free for... I mean, are we going to get just maybe one or two appearances on TV before that? Is he going to be able to do maybe five, six, seven appearances on TV before that? Is he going to be able to free to work maybe at the pay-per-view before WrestleMania to do something like a six-man tag match? I don't think necessarily we get that. I don't know if maybe... Who knows what the Rock's... Even if the Rock is kind of free and available to wrestle, what's his physical condition going to be? I mean, he is a beast. The Rock is the very definition of beast mode. But in terms of the ring rust, the cardio, that side of things, because we saw in his, was it his second match with Cena? Yeah, it was the second one, where he just basically ruined his whole body, pulled muscles off, and that was because he'd not been in the wrestling ring for a while, really. So I don't think you need to do that six-man tag. If you do, I mean, New Day jumps out just because of their storied history with the Usos. Maybe the Street Profits again, but that's a big if they're even going to be together by the time of WrestleMania. And as a swerve ball, maybe it's Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and The Rock against the Bloodline. I'd be for that because it seems like we're getting to a crossroads. It's coming to a head with Sami Zayn and the Bloodline. I mean, KO comes over and helps him out as a babyface tag team. I mean, it seems that would have been my thought until Monday, I guess. And then obviously Monday we had Kevin Owens back and more vicious. More of that prize fighting mode from NXT, and I'm absolutely there for that. But hey, it could be fun to see Sami and KO with The Rock against the Bloodline. I just think how cool that would have been for Kevin Owens in the space of a year. Your main event in WrestleMania with Steve Austin, and then prior to the next WrestleMania, you tag with The Rock. That's kind of cool. Last question here, I believe. Hector Garcia III. Hey, Hector. We assume that Karma's spearheading the budget cut releases over the years that included stars that Triple H is bringing back. Do you think this means we've seen the last of large quantities of releases like we've seen? Dog sitting the two on the right, all say hi. Look at that. And what two pretty boys or girls, two pretty pooches there to be babysitting, dog sitting, whatever. Yeah, all four of those pooches look extremely, extremely cute and happy. Right, the budget cut releases. It's a tricky one because, I mean, historically, before these mass releases that we saw throughout the pandemic and still to this day, well, not to this day, but until this year, prior to that, there was always releases. There's always that post-WrestleMania culling, I guess, of just talent who aren't being used, talent who you think maybe reached the end of the road or you've got nothing for. And a lot of the time, there's always a case of, right, we've got nothing for you now, we're going to release you, you go off and do whatever, and then the door's open to come back in a year or 2 years or 3 years or whatever. So there's always going to be releases, it's just the sheer volume. I think that, yeah, I don't think we're going to be seeing the sheer number of releases as we've seen these last couple of years. But also, I think part of the reason why we won't see that many releases is because of those other releases. Because during that pandemic, when obviously the world was a very weird place where nobody knew what was going to happen, how things were going to play out for individuals or for businesses or for whatever. And so at that point, WWE had such a bloated number of wrestlers under contract that I don't know if you could say it made sense to trim some back, but you can see their logic of like, right, because they basically overstocked on wrestlers. They'd had too many people under contract. They'd hoarded talent, and then it kind of came back to bite them in the backside when they can't tour, they can't do live events, they can't have merchandise sales at events because they're just working in the empty performance center. That's it. So that's a big revenue stream cut off right there. Several revenue streams cut off right there. So then you can understand the logic of like, right, how can we maximize what we've got? Right, we're going to have to get rid of some people. But then, so because of that, now we are at a depleted roster. Not a depleted roster, we're a roster that's not as bloated, so maybe not as many people need to be let go. But I think that, like I said, there will still be releases. I think it'll be more, the difference will be the talent who are released. Because previously, you'd see people who'd done well in NXT. Hit Row is a prime example of an act that did well in NXT and got literally a matter of weeks on the main roster before Vince or whoever, Vince, Johnny Ace, Nick Khan, it all comes down to Vince. It's clear he just saw that and go, yeah, it doesn't really work for me, brother. I'm done. Let's release these guys. I think those sort of acts, once, because their acts at Triple H is familiar with, their acts at Triple H is molded into what they were. He gave them the opportunity to become this. The hit row we saw in NXT was a hit row that Triple H was happy with. And so if that hit row goes to the main roster under Triple H, it's going to be fine. There's going to be no releases there. But because Vince never watched NXT, because Vince didn't know what a hit row was, what a swerve was, what a B-fab was, it's just like, here are these guys, I don't like him, off they go. So I think, yeah, there'll be releases still. It's just the manner of how the releases, I guess, come about. I'm rambling, so I'm just going to stop there. But yeah, there will be some, but it won't be as many. There, nice and simple. That could have been, oh, say, going all around the houses. But hey, it wouldn't be a solo Sunday news if there wasn't some rambling, would there? Which I know frustrates some people, but hey, it's Sunday and this is, it's time now. It's Vader time. It's time for me to toddle off and crack on with the rest of my work for the day. I hope your Sunday, whatever you're doing, goes really well. Whether you're doing something, whether you're doing nothing, I hope it is the best possible Sunday for you. Be careful out in that sun if you are over here in the UK. Make sure you factor up and cream up and all of that stuff. It's a toasty one. I've been Andrew Pollard here at What Culture Wrestling. Be sure to come and follow us at What Culture WWE on Twitter. You can follow me if you want at Culture Left Peg on the Twitter. I can't promise it's going to be that exciting. As always, be sure to like, subscribe, comment, share, blah, 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 blah. I will not be back next weekend, actually, because I have a rare Sunday off. But I will be back the following week. So, hey, it's not the end of the world. And I believe brothers Murray and Wilburn are back tomorrow. The news, it's back up to speed. Because last week it was all a bit haywire with lots of people off. Even Mr. Velocity here, the job squad, got called up to do some podcasting. Yeah, everything's back to normal from tomorrow. But I'll be back here on a Sunday in 2 weeks' time. You have the best possible day. And I'll catch you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.